This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. How many of you remember a magic eight ball? Good. Or maybe you have one now. So the magic eight ball, right? It's like the pool ball, the number eight, right? The black ball, and it had a little window in it. And inside the black ball was some sort of watery ink colored thing. And there was a little triangle shaped thing that floated around. And so what you would do is you would take the magic eight ball and you would shake it and you would ask it a question and you would turn it over and the magic eight ball would tell you what the answer was. So obviously very popular among young people, and I remember shaking it. It's like, you know, does the little boy in sixth period English like me? Some of the answers were very clear. And I love the way that they would phrase them, right? It wouldn't say yes or no. It would say, it is decidedly so, might be one answer. Without a doubt, might be another answer. Yes, definitely, and you may rely on it. The outlook looks good. Signs point to yes. It's like all of these wonderful affirmations. But then there were some that were not quite so clear. And it says, ask again later. So, of course, you know, you go to the bathroom and you come back. Does the boy in sixth period English like me? And then one answer was, better not tell you now. Did I get an A on my math test? Better not tell you now. I cannot predict now. Concentrate really hard and then ask again. And then, of course, there were the dreaded ones, my reply is no, with such authority. My sources, magic eight ball, my sources say no. The outlook for you, my friend, is not good. Very doubtful. So as you would shake the magic eight ball and hope that it would come, it's just a reminder that how many times, no matter what age, no matter what generation, no matter what ethnicity, no matter what religion, no matter what culture, humanity has always had a desire to know, to have some way to get an answer in uncertainty. And that's why the magic eight ball was so popular, because it really was just a fix to say, I'll give you the answer. When we encounter the disciples today, In Acts, the reading from Acts, we encounter the disciples. So Peter is standing there, and I love the thing. He's standing there with 120. They say about 120 people. The crowd numbered about 120 people. Right? So when we encounter them in Acts today, Jesus has already died, been crucified, has been resurrected, and has returned to be with God in heaven. Right? And now the disciples are left here sort of like, okay, what's next? Now, if you remember, there were 12 disciples, and one of them, and he reminds them, now, we have been here, we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Judas left, but we recognize that that was part of the fulfillment of Holy Scripture. So someone needs to take Judas's spot. But we need someone who has been with us all of this time. Now, just that line alone is interesting to me, because we need someone who has been with us all of this time, because if we're reading the Gospels, nobody else really gets mentioned to have been with Jesus all of the time except for the disciples. But then here today, there's 120 people there, and out of that 120, Peter's saying we need to pick someone who has been with us from the beginning, who can testify along with us about the truth of Jesus' resurrection. We need one of you to step up to the plate. And out of the 120, they managed to find two, at least two, that have been there from the beginning. Why are we just now meeting them? Why are we just now encountering these two potential disciples of the 12? Those who had been there since the baptism of John, until the very end. We had this one man named Joseph, who's also called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justice. And I still think that he didn't win because he has too many names. And they were thinking, how are we going to keep track? Every time they mentioned him in their writings, they would have to say, Joseph, also known as Barsabbas, also known as Justice. And then this gentleman named Matthias. Again, the first time we're introduced to these two people who apparently have been with them the entire time. And we're told that they gathered around and they cast lots. Now, this is where the magic eight ball comes into play, because the idea of casting lots. So here, this is a big life decision. What they are about to do, embark on, is a journey to take this message of Jesus Christ, this love of God, this forgiveness of sins, this grace that is unknowable but granted anyway. They're supposed to take this message out into the world, and they're asking someone to be one of their top leaders. And so they cast lots. It reminds me also of a game. Maybe some of you, when you were in school and there would be kids in the bathroom and they were like, I think it's craps or dice, and they would be throwing dice and making money. I still don't know how to play that game. Or when you go to a casino, right, and you just roll the dice and hopefully you win. But again, this idea of casting lots. So I had to do a little bit of exploration, because I was like, this can't be. This can't be that this is the way they would make this very important decision. Okay, so we have two things happening, right? We have 120 people. Of them, at least two have been there the whole time that I'm just now meeting. One of them is going to get picked to be the next, one of the top leaders of the group and continue spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. We don't know anything about him. We don't get any other story. This is the only time that these two gentlemen are mentioned in our Holy Scripture. And then on top of that, they're just going to roll some dice and say, okay, who wins? Pick a number between 1 and 10. But this idea of casting lots goes back to that idea that we all, humanity, has forever wanted to have an answer in the midst of uncertainty. We just want to know, is it yes or is it no? Don't give me ambiguity. Ambiguity is too hard. So back then, believe it or not, the priest, the Levite priest, would wear a breastplate. So imagine a plate. It wouldn't be like armor, but it would kind of look like armor. So it would be a breastplate that they would be wearing. And in it, there would be little rocks. Now, these rocks had special powers, like the magic eight ball. So imagine me as your priest running around with a breastplate that has a magic eight ball in the middle. And what would happen when the priest would come upon a situation, they weren't quite sure. The idea was that they were spiritually grounded, right? And so that they could hear the voice of God, that they could relay the voice of God, but sometimes it just got a little staticky. And so they would reach into their pocket and pull out the rock, and whatever color it was the answer. Yes or no. The rocks were even black or white. Yin and yang. Now, this might sound completely absurd, but in my mind, there's sort of like there's a comfort in that, right? We hear the prayer, don't leave us comfortless, in our opening prayer, please do not leave your people comfortless. It's like, we need the rocks, Jesus, so you can talk to us while we are here and you are away. And so the priest, they might ask, you know, Lord, am I going to be married to the one that I love? Well, I'm not sure. It doesn't look good. Am I going to be healed from this terrible illness? Maybe. So the idea is that they cast these lots, and they put a lot of faith into what the outcome would be. Right? They put a lot of faith into what the outcome would be. But sometimes we just have to make a decision when we don't know. Sometimes we have to make the decision without all the information. Sometimes we have to make the decision we have no idea how it's going to turn out until it doesn't turn out well, or until it turns out far beyond our wildest dreams. But we do. We have to make decisions. And the idea here is that we as human beings, God is still calling us to make decisions. And now Matthias, and I don't even know, they don't even say whether he wanted this role. right? They're just looking out of the room and say, okay, you two, you guys have been here from the beginning. Okay, come over here, pick a number, 1 through 10. Matthias, you're it. We don't even know if he said yes. And we never hear of him particularly again. So what does that have to do with all of us? Well, one thing it has to do is that God knew and the disciples knew that they had to have leadership. They had to have leadership that was going to take this message that knew from the beginning, that knew the truth of the word, as Jesus says in his prayer for the disciples. They know the truth. They know the truth, and the truth is your word, and I am your word, and they have met me. So they needed someone who knew Jesus and who had followed Jesus. And who someone who was going to say yes. But also the interesting thing here is what we can learn about this gentleman, Matthias, is that are we not all a Matthias? In our baptism, are not we invited to step up to that place of discipleship, of leadership, of spreading the good news? We don't have to have great stature or significance, but God can use what we bring. When we say yes to following Jesus, God can use it and will use it to spread the good news. And it's interesting because how many of us might feel that our life is too small for it to have an impact? Or how many of us might feel that the world keeps calling us for our life to be bigger and bigger and more important, otherwise it doesn't have an impact? But today, right here, we meet a man named Matthias, who God calls to lead this mission. Now, at the time when we encounter them in this story of Acts, there are about 120. 120 followers of Jesus Christ. We would call them Christians today. At the time, they did not use that name. They probably were followers of the teacher, of Jesus, followers of the way. 120. Today, my friends, there are 2.4 billion Christians in the world. 2.4 billion Christians from the small group of ragtag followers. God can do wonderful things with things that seem insignificant. You see, and Jesus is praying for his disciples because he knows that the journey ahead of them is going to be difficult. He knows that getting from that 120 to that 2.4 billion and on is going to be great hardship, but it's also going to bring great joy, and that there's nothing more fun and fulfilling than being able to have an impact in this kingdom of God that Jesus has been talking about, that there is no life that is too small or too insignificant for God to use. But Matthias also had to be humble. Think about it. For 3 years plus, according to what our scripture says, he has been right there with everyone. Yet we don't know him. We've never met him. And yet he is selected out of the group to be that leader. I wonder, too, if he's like, well, it's about time somebody paid attention to me. I don't think that's the case. I think Matthias was chosen because he was loyal, because it wasn't about him, because it wasn't about, look at me, all the wonderful things I am doing. Rather, it was, I'm a faithful servant of God. I will follow you, Jesus Christ. I will spread your good news. I will learn your teachings. I will read the word of God. I will pray. I will be active in the community. And it doesn't matter if anybody else recognizes that. So there's this level of humility. So again, I think the church is full of Matthiases. Regular, ordinary, everyday people who have said yes to the call to follow Jesus Christ. Regular, ordinary, everyday people whose lives may, on the big grand scheme of the world, seem small and insignificant, but to God are so important. regular, everyday people who continue to believe in the way of Jesus Christ, that it does bring joy and peace and comfort, that it can change the world and the way the world works. And everyday people will go out and tell other people about that wonderful gift and good news. They started with 120. In 2024, 2.4 billion. We encounter Jesus today. He is praying for his disciples. My guess is the disciples are not just the 12 now, because we've been expanded, right? We've expanded our understanding of who the disciples were. He's also praying for us. And now, if our understanding that Jesus was God, then it's not a stretch to say God prays for us. As we are praying to God, God is also praying for us. And Jesus is worried, because Jesus knows the ways of the world. God is worried, because God knows the ways of the world. And Jesus says, I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those who you gave me. Who you gave me, because they are yours. You belong to God. And if I were to offer a prayer for the people today, and I think about this beautiful song, and you may know it, A Mother's Prayer, being Mother's Day, very appropriate. And the words are, I pray you will be my eyes and watch where she goes. God, so we're praying to God, I pray, God, that you will watch where your people go. Help them to be wise. Help those who are given the duty to raise them and keep them and to nurture them and to help them grow into wise human beings. Help them to let go. Guide them with your grace. Keep them safe. Show them where the light is. And when darkness comes, remind them that you are there. What would a prayer look like for the disciples of Jesus today? If I were to offer a prayer today, I think it would be, well, it would be long. But I think more than anything, I would pray that God let them know. Let them know that no life is too small, insignificant, that you can't use to bring about the kingdom of God. That there is nothing that can separate them from your love. Let them know that they are beloved. Let them feel your presence, Lord, in all of their doings, from their waking in their morning to their sleeping at night. Let your light shine through them throughout the day. Remind them that you are there. Bring them peace and comfort when the world tries to tear it away. Guide them. Lead them. Show them your mercy. Show them your grace. Amen.